You could turn, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts, chapter 20. And we could read from verse 17. Acts, chapter 20. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but assured you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, in giving the closing word this afternoon, I'm going to speak on the elders' meeting at Miletus. A New Testament elders' meeting. We had read all of this chapter. We would find in this chapter two important meetings: the breaking of bread meeting and an elders' meeting, and both are very, very instructive. Taking up this elders' meeting, I'm going to speak first on the man who wrote about the elders' meeting at Miletus. Then the men who attended the elders' meeting. Then the man who spoke at the elders' meeting. And finally, the men who were referred to at the elders' meeting, dangerous men from without and dangerous men from within. I would say that this ministry of Paul at this elders' meeting was what we would call a warning ministry. As a prophet, he could foresee the dangers of the future. Thinking on the man who wrote about this elders' meeting, most know that Luke, one of 8 writers in the New Testament, he gives us 24 chapters unfolding the manhood glories of the Lord Jesus in that lovely gospel according to Luke. And then the book of Acts, 28 chapter, he gives us the first believers of this great dispensation. And Acts 2, he gives us the first gospel meeting. Peter was the preacher. 3,000 souls turned to Christ for God's salvation. The next chapter, 13, referring to the assembly at Antioch, he describes a ministry meeting. And special mention is made of spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts 14, he describes a workers' meeting. Paul and Barnabas return after their first missionary journey and give a full report of what God has done for them. You know, we're accustomed to reports from men called missionaries. I think it would be good at times to hear reports from what we call the local workers, men working in North America. When you come to Acts chapter 20, we have the breaking of bread meeting described. The saints came together in the first day of the week to break bread. And then in Acts chapter 20, we have this elders meeting at Miletus. So you can see the Spirit of God wisely gives to us these inspired descriptions of the first meetings in connection with God's people in relation to this great dispensation. The second thing I would point out about this elders meeting, the men who attended this elders meeting at Miletus, you'll find that they are referred to as the elders from Ephesus. I would gather they must have walked 20 miles to this elders' meeting. I don't need to tell, and yet we must understand that we have younger people, younger Christians in the company, and they need to learn the important place that an elder has in a New Testament assembly. I would say that while we're not told the number of elders that came to the meeting, and we're not told the names of the elders who attended this meeting, they were leaders among God's people. I would say, first of all, they were mature believers. They had a measure of spiritual maturity. When one comes to the truth of elders, and I think it's always wise to refer to the elderhood rather than the oversight. I'm quoting Brother Maxwell. He says, the elderhood refers to persons, the oversight refers to their work. And most know from the teaching of the New Testament that every scriptural assembly had bishops, elders, and deacons. And we must distinguish the difference between an elder and a deacon. And a younger man could be an elder, and at the same time an older man may not be an elder. It's a question of spiritual maturity. I would say that these men from Ephesus were qualified men. And that's why we have in the scriptures Timothy and Titus, the qualifications of elder. And my brethren, as one who reads the scripture, I'm convinced of this, that there are men who qualify to be elders, and there are men who don't qualify to be elders. As a matter of fact, I would say, there are men who are disqualified from being elders. And in a day when it seems to be that standards are being lowered on this particular point, I feel there's great need to uphold the standards of Scripture when it comes to the qualifications of an elder, or the qualifications of a man going out in full-time work. He must qualify according to the qualifications laid down in Timothy and Titus. Thinking on these men who attended this elders' meeting at Ephesus, at Miletus, I would say that these men were recognized men and possibly esteemed men. You know, it's important that the Lord's people know them which labor among them. It's important that the Lord's people not only recognize the elder, but esteem the elder. You'll never find this man in his ministry seeking to undermine the elders of an assembly. My brother, it's vital to support godly elders who lead God's people in the scripture paths of the New Testament teaching, and I feel it would be detrimental to weaken the hands of godly elders who are seeking to hold fast to the Word of God in these very difficult last days of the dispensation. I would support godly elders in their stand for God. I say it's important for younger people today to esteem, to honor the elder. And in a day when it seems to be that authority has not been recognized, sometimes, when I listen to the radio, the news, and hear how people address Queen Elizabeth, the Prime Minister of this country, the President of the United States, it makes me feel that the day of honoring men in high places seemingly has gone. And that is so in the assembly. Might there's nothing nicer than to see children honor their parents. It's most becoming. And there's nothing nicer than to see the saints in an assembly honor the elders. And it's nice when elders are highly esteemed by God's people. Sometimes you ask, why do assemblies need elders? In the same way as children need parents. Elders have a great responsibility in an assembly. And I feel that many places today where it seems to be they're getting away from the simple principles of God's Word in the New Testament, I believe the fault lies with the elders. You'll find that assemblies that go on for God, credit must be given to godly elders, men who seek to lead God's people in the right paths of Holy Scripture and preserve them from the intrusion of this great religious world. Sometimes when speaking about elders, I take up the pictures of elders. Elders as pilots. Elders as pillars. Elders as pastors who shepherd the flock. I would say, brethren, that two great truths in connection with the assembly of God as priesthood and elderhood. And while every believer is a priest, only some believers are in the elderhood. So when I look at this elders' meeting at Melita, I want you now to think on the man who spoke at the elders' meeting. You know, brethren, it's important at times who the speaker is, just as it's important what he preaches. I feel at times there's a ministry that a younger man cannot give, and I think they recognize that. I spoke in giving at a certain conference, and a brother came to me, a younger man, the work of God, and he said to me, "Brother Gray, it's only a man like you could speak on that subject." And I'm glad that he recognizes that there are subjects that a younger man could not touch in public, and it would be out of place for a younger man to get up and exhort elders. It would be out of place. It wouldn't be becoming. I think, brethren, it's important to recognize these things today. Very important. That the man who spoke at this elders' meeting was certainly a qualified man, the Apostle Paul. A man who could speak with apostolic authority. And a man who could speak as a prophet foreseeing the dangers of the future. And that's why he gives a warning ministry for the preservation of the elders. So I want to point out two things that Paul emphasized in his preaching. You might have noticed how he brings in wisely the important place the Spirit of God has in connection with elders. He says, "Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." My brother, one of the great subjects of this great dispensation is the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a very neglected subject. I think it was at one of the conferences that's up north recently, one of the Bible readings was on the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. I say, what an important subject today. The Spirit of God in relation to the work of God. Divine guidance. The Spirit of God in relation to the assembly. The Spirit of God in relation to a conference. I wonder, brethren, if we're not slowly but surely getting away from the great truth of divine guidance by the Spirit of God. I say, thank God in these last days, for the recognition that we do give to the Spirit of God's place, even at a conference like that. And I can honestly say, and God's my witness, I have never in my 42 years in Canada sought in an underhand way to arrange the speakers at a conference like this. I have never submitted to that kind of thing. And I feel, brethren, it's a great mistake for any two brethren to arrange a meeting and seek to cut out their brethren. I feel that this is an intrusion into what we believe is divine guidance. Now, it's amazing at times what man will do. It's amazing. I feel, brethren, that we could do many things if we lose touch with God. And our preservation today is the conscious presence of God. That's our preservation. But once we lose the conscious presence of God and the conscious field of God, anything could happen. And I'm glad my brother made the announcement that the platform's not open for just the whosoever will. That's a great mistake. And I feel at times that while preaching, brethren have the freedom to the platform, I believe other brethren equally or perhaps better fitted, they also have the freedom to the ministry platform, their gifted men by the risen head of the church. And I say to say that any full-time man has the right to the ministry platform, I say that's a great mistake. Each man to his work. That's what our brother Pacey said this morning, and I believe that's correct. I feel, brethren, it's important to try and increase the quality of ministry at our conferences. The quality of ministry. Now, the man who spoke at this elders' meeting, he refers to the Spirit of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now we believe that the New Testament teaches that the Spirit of God resides in the assembly. The Spirit of God raises up spiritual gifts in the assembly. And the Spirit of God raises up elders in the assembly. Men raised up by God. Might as not be nicer than to see God bringing on younger men to lead the flock. Godly, qualified, competent, younger men to lead the flock of God. And I would say, brethren, if there's any person that needs the prayers of God's people, it is those who take the place of elders. I feel at times we can criticize. We can pull them to pieces at times because of their decisions. But I think if some of us had to make the delicate decisions that our brethren have to make at times, I wonder just how we would handle those delicate matters. I sometimes thank God that I'm not in the elderhood, that I have to make some of the delicate decisions that our brethren have to make. And I'm 42 years in North America, and I have only attended two meetings of the elderhood because I had evidence I leave that work of elderhood to the men who are responsible, the elders of the local assembly. That's not my responsibility. Now the Spirit of God raises up elders. Well, it's nice to see, as I say, God bringing on younger men. You see them growing and developing. And the time comes when he brings them to the front. And you're convinced of this. Here's a man. Here are men. And they're raised up of God. And they recognize the God-given place that God has given them in the assembly. They're elders. That's a great mistake when we use underhand methods on these things. I knew a man in a certain place, no names, and he told me, he says, you know brother so-and-so? He says, I sure have lots of trouble with him. And he says, it was me that brought him in the oversight. And I thought he would support me. And now he's my greatest opposition. And I quietly said to myself, Mister, you deserve that. My dear brother, it's nice when the Spirit of God raises men up and we recognize them. Now, I know we could encourage men. We could encourage godly men. The second thing that Paul preaches about at this meeting, he preaches about the elders' responsibility as shepherds to feed the flock of God. I would say, my brother, that in many, many places, there's a great fear on the part of shepherds in feeding the flock of God. If the assembly was only what it should be, and the shepherds were what they should be, why, the assembly would be heaven and earth. Well-fed believers, the well-fed flock, the flock getting the green pastures of God's Word. You ask yourself a question, why is the Bible reading not well attended, and why is it well attended? I would say if God's people are getting proper food, they'll come out for it. I'm one of those that believe there's no place like the assembly. I was born in denomination. I know what's on the other side of the fence. I would never, never weaken assembly testimony in my preaching. I esteem the assemblies of God. I suppose it's because I understand what's on the other side of the fence. I know what's in denomination. And let me say, brethren, the assembly of God's not another denomination. It's distinct and different from every denomination that's on earth today. Now, Paul emphasized in his preaching at this elders' meeting the responsibility of the elderhood to feed the flock of God which was among them. And Peter does the same in his first epistle, chapter 5. Peter was a man who had a shepherd's heart, and he exhorted those under shepherds to feed the flock of God. Well, it's nice to go into an assembly and you realize here's a well-fed assembly. There's no bickering. There's no backbiting. There's lovely fellowship. There's a happy atmosphere. Why, everything is as it should be. Why? God's people are satisfied. They're getting the spiritual food from the green pastures of God's Word. And the shepherds are moving in their responsibility. The late Fisher Hunter, he was unique, as you know. Man, you never knew what he was going to say. He says to me one day, John. Yes, he called me John. He says, John, I have been to two assemblies recently. He says, one was like a graveyard and the other was like a vineyard. I say, what a contrast between two assemblies, one like a graveyard and one like a vineyard. Oh, brethren, that the assemblies of God were what God intends them to be. I say, with all their fingers, there's no people like the Lord's people outside the camp. But looking at this elders' meeting, I want you to note the men who were referred to at the elders' meeting. If you read carefully what I read, you'll see that Paul's referring to two classes of very dangerous men. He refers to dangers from the outside and dangers from the inside. In verse 29, he refers to dangers from the outside. He says, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I say, dangerous men out to destroy the assembly of God, out to destroy God's people as an assembly. Dangers from without. That's why, brethren, men in the elderhood need spiritual perception.
need understanding of the Scripture, need to be in the watchtower in connection with those who might come in among us. And that's why reception, Scripture reception, is important. But you'll notice these dangers are not only from without. And I think we have lived long enough to see that there are dangers from without. From without. I would say, brethren, possibly the only way the devil can get into an assembly is through you or me. Think of that. Now, I don't need to tell you the devil doesn't love an assembly. He's out to smash the assembly. He's out to destroy the assembly. He's out to corrupt the assembly. But he can only do it as he uses human agency. I say, how sorrow. Oh, I trust the day never comes that I would be a tool in the hand of the devil to destroy an assembly of God. The Lord take me to glory and preserve me from ever being a destroyer of God's people. But this danger from without, the danger from within, proud man, and you'll notice, verse 30, also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You know, it's a very solemn thing for any man to seek to draw the young people after him. It's a great mistake for any man to seek to draw the older people after him. You can see, brethren, the great danger from within. Oh, this is a solemn thought, a danger from within. If you read the seven churches, you'll find it's confirmed in those churches. Why there were men in the church at Pergamos and church at Thyatira, men who held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Men who held the doctrine of Balaam. That's why that elders should be on the watchtower, listening to what's been spoken, analyzing it. Does it stand the test of the Word of God? Is it dangerous? I don't think the Spirit of God would guide a man to give faulty ministry. No, no. The wrong doctrine. I was saying to someone, Mr. Arnold Adams, we've been greatly preserved in North America from false doctrine. Thank God. I was so pleased to hear Mr. Norris strongly emphasize this morning the fact that while Christ didn't send, he couldn't send. Brethren, men outside the assemblies believe this. And while we may differ a little at times on prophetic matters, when the Old Testament saints will be raised and all that, these are minor. But when it comes to the great fundamentals on the person of Christ, and on the gospel, thank God, there's a soundness. Brethren, we have been preserved, and for this we're grateful and thankful. The Lord preserve us further, doctrinally, until that great day when we shall see the Lord Jesus face to face. You can see that Paul was speaking at this meeting not only as an apostle, but as a prophet, one who could foresee the future, one who could see the dangers of the future, one who could see the dangers of the last days and the dangers that would face God's people as assemblies. And he points out a danger from without and a danger from within. I would say, brethren, as an individual, I need to be preserved. As a preacher, I need to be preserved. As an older man, I need to be preserved. The families of God's people need to be preserved. The assemblies of God's people need to be preserved. Brethren, we need men who will stand up faithfully to encourage, to strengthen the things that remain, and to give a ministry that will preserve God's people until that great day when we shall see the Lord Jesus face to face. This elders' meeting at Miletus, the man who described it, Dr. Luke, the man who attended it, the elders from Ephesus, the man who spoke at it, the Apostle Paul, and the men he referred to, dangerous men from within, and dangerous men from without. Brethren, my prayer is that God will raise up right across Ontario, north, south, east, and west, godly men, commendable elders, qualified elders, men who will lead and guide and feed the flock of God.